We're in the middle of four Sundays. We're in the first reading at Mass. We hear about the difficulties experienced by the prophets of God in the Old Testament. Last week it was Ezekiel who was told to go prophesy in Judah. Even though the people were not going to listen, his mission was doomed to fail, but at least they would know that there was a prophet in their midst, giving them one last chance to repent and return to covenant faithfulness. Today we have Amos, who is thrown out of a temple by a high priest. Next week we'll have Jeremiah, and the week after that, Elisha. All of them part of a great network of prophets, patriarchs, and judges that God sent to his chosen people over the course of 1,000 years to call them to repent of their sins, to return to his covenant, and to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. But why were they praying for a Messiah if they did not believe that they had any sins that needed forgiving? This was the question that perplexed Ezekiel, and today Amos, and next week Jeremiah, and then Elisha. They refused to admit of their sins, and yet they're still looking to God to save them. Today, Amos is thrown out of a temple, not the temple, but a temple in Bethel in the northern kingdom of Israel. And it's the high priest that kicks him out of there because he doesn't like the message that Amos was preaching. It contradicted with his own. We have to understand in the background here, this is 700 years before the birth of Jesus. But for 1,000 years before the coming of the Christ, what we today refer to as Israel was in fact a divided kingdom. It all happened after the time of Solomon. There was Saul, David, and Solomon, three kings in a row. Solomon had many wives. He had children with all those wives, and he left no clear plan of succession. The mothers were each advocating for their own son to take the throne, and thus when Solomon died, a civil war broke out and divided the 12 tribes. It divided the whole nation in two, and it would stay that way for a millennium until Rome destroyed all the land and dispersed all the Jewish people from it. In the case of the civil war of Solomon's sons, there ended up being the northern kingdom of Israel, whose capital was Samaria, thus the term Samaritans. And then the southern kingdom of Judah, that's where Jerusalem was. That's where Jesus spent most of his life. And when we talk about Israel, we're often referring to Judah. But there was a great division politically and religiously and socially between these two countries in that divided kingdom. And the people of Judah were not supposed to go to the north, and the northerners also didn't want to go to the south. Jesus, of course, he went back and forth as he pleased because he's the Lord of all creation. But the King Jeroboam in the northern kingdom of Israel, he didn't want the Jewish people in the north to have to go to the temple of Jerusalem to offer incense and sacrifice. So he said, we're going to build one of our own. And so not far from the capital Samaria, he built the temple at Bethel. And in it, on the altar, he installed a golden calf. And under penalty of law, he forced all the people in the northern kingdom of Israel to worship that calf. Well, history's repeating itself. This had happened before. 500 years before the temple at Bethel was built, 600,000 Hebrew men, women, and children ended up worshiping a golden calf in the Sinai Desert. They were breaking the first commandment at the very same moment where on top of Mount Sinai, God was inscribing it on the stone tablets. They paid a heavy penalty for that sin, and apparently Jeroboam has not learned from Israel's history because he thinks this somehow will please God to have these people worshiping this golden cow. Well, it doesn't. God sends Amos from Judah up into Israel to try to tell the king, Amaziah, his high priest, who sold out long ago, and all the people, you stop worshiping that calf, or you're going to end up in a war, you're going to lose, the king's going to die in exile, all you men, you'll end up as slaves in a foreign land. Well, Amaziah wanted to prevent Amos from preaching this message any further. That's why he kicks him out of the temple, kicks him out of the country, and says, prophesy no more. But Amos long ago decided he would serve a greater master than King Jeroboam or Amaziah, his high priest, and he refuses to stop preaching. He just goes right back and preaches all the more fervently. Stop sinning. Stop forcing the people to sin. And that, in the end, was the real problem. If the king and his high priest, Jeroboam and Amaziah, wanted to worship a golden calf, that's fine. They can sin as much as they want. But when they use their political power in order to force other people to do the same or pay a heavy price, that's where we'll always have a problem with that. And we see this again and again throughout history. just as Jeroboam did not learn from Israel's fate when they first worshiped the golden calf and he was doomed to repeat it once more, so too we see throughout these 20 Christian centuries, dictators, tyrants, and despots trying to force their political will and oppress religious people. That usually happens when there is the rise of socialism, fascism, and communism, which are godless states where people are forced to do as the government says and have no religious liberty or religious freedom whatsoever. And this still goes on in countries all across the world. You can read about it in the bulletin this weekend just to stay up to date on real threats to real Christians like you and me. God advocates that people should be free to believe in him, free to reject him, and that whatever country they live in, they should have that same freedom. And it exists also for us as Catholic Christians here in America. Amos was willing to pay the price. He was willing to incur the rancor and wrath of a king in order to serve a greater master. Jesus, however, he understood that his message would at times be considered unpopular and controversial, and those who preached it were going to be ridiculed and rejected and persecuted. All the prophets that prepared for his coming experienced that, and he knew that the apostles and martyrs and saints of Christian history would likewise have heavy crosses to bear in order to faithfully fulfill the will of the Father. And that is why in the 6th chapter of Mark today, Jesus sends his apostles out two by two in their first missionary journey. And he tells them they must travel lightly. They can only take the clothes on their back and a walking stick. They will have to depend completely on the providence of God to look after their needs, but also in the kindness of strangers. And for Jesus, this would become the barometer whereby they would measure the success or the failure of the mission. Where the word was welcomed, those who preached it would be given food, clothing, and shelter. Where the word was met with hostility instead of hospitality, the message would be rejected, and so too its preacher. And then Jesus said, shake the dust from your feet and go on in the next town, because their eager audience willing to listen to what those stiff-necked and hardened of heart Jewish people have been rejecting for 1,000 years. The same is true for us. We are called not only to listen to the word of God, but to love it, to live it, and to spread it. In the last verse of the first reading today, Amos was told by God, go prophesy to my people Israel. At the end of every Mass, we are told by the deacon, go announce the gospel of the Lord. The message is the same, and so is the mission, to be disciples, to make disciples, and to announce the word of God and the goodness of God and the existence of God in a world that increasingly does not know him. And that's our country, and that's our time. This world has 7 billion people living on it, and yet only 2 billion of them are Christian. Only 1 billion of those Christians are Catholic, and many of those Catholics no longer practice their faith. We, my friends, are asleep at the switch. And just as those prophets were called to give an urgent wake-up call to God's people who had fallen asleep in the gospel, so too we are called to be jolted by God's word and invigorated by God's sacraments so that we can go forth and fulfill our mission to lead others to God once we ourselves first learn to follow him.